My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 22nd of August. The time is 4:15 in the morning. I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to state your name, age, and where you come from?
Richard Hudson, I'm 26 and I'm from Harlow in Essex.
Were you born in Essex?
I wasn't. I was born in Ellesmere Port, which is Merseyside, or Cheshire, depending on which way you look at it. And I moved down when I was about 4 years old, so I've lived in the area most of my life, but not originally from there.
When did you first hear about the plinth?
It was actually on Bizarre Magazine's online community. They had a chat room running, and obviously I know certain members of staff that work for the magazine. And we were all just chatting on there, and it came up that the project was running. And to get as many people from alternative or subcultures to put their names forward, I did, and got a place. So.
You mentioned subcultures. Because this is an audio recording, do you mind just describing what's on your face at the moment?
Yeah, of course. I'm wearing white CyberDog contact lenses, eyeliner, green shiny eyeshadow, and random various UV makeup.
And would you mind describing your clothing?
Sure, yep. I'm wearing a very baggy pair of Poison Industry trousers and a light reflective CyberDog t-shirt that has a circuit pattern on it. I'll also be wearing goggles and a mask, well, ventilator type mask.
Is there any meaning to what you're wearing?
I'm part of a subculture that's known as a cybergoth. Basically, it comes from goths, as they are known, traditional goths, the Victorian outfits and the dark, like black, irregularly makeup. And cybergoths kind of a break away from that. So we're more into light reflective and UV, electronic music rather than the heavy rock side of things. And that's pretty much the only main difference is the way that we dress and what we listen to. But there's a lot of crossovers between subcultures and states.
Is the main focus on the music?
The main focus really is on the music and the obviously the either clashing UV colours or light reflective and the goggles. Every cybergoth wears goggles. So.
And what got you into this subculture?
When I was at university in Liverpool, actually, before I went to university, I was into baggy jeans and rock band t-shirts, that kind of thing. And one of my flatmates happened to be a cybergoth, and I liked what he was listening to and went to a few clubs with him and just evolved from there, really. Just got more and more into the scene as it was and just never got rid of it, really.
Can I ask, do you wear this all the time?
I don't. I work in an office, so it's normally shirt, suit and tie during the day and in the evenings. I normally dress up if I'm going out. If I'm just milling around the house, it's normally just jeans and a t-shirt. But obviously, I'm not on parade 24 hours a day, so if on my chilled downtime, chill-out time, then it's just a pair of baggy jeans and a t-shirt.
You mentioned the word parade. Could you expand on that a bit?
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, being part of a subculture, obviously, the way you come across when you're in public, like it is for anyone, whether you're classed as a goth, most people expect you to be wearing black eyeliner or dark clothes. When you're at home, it's not necessarily the case. You might just wear a t-shirt and a pair of jeans and just chill out on the sofa without any makeup on, that kind of thing. It's just really a public front, well, not so much a front, more of an image. So,
when you do go out in public dressed up, do you elicit a response?
I do, and it can be mixed. Obviously, I'm doing this supporting the Sophie Lancaster Foundation, which is a registered charity now, basically around Sophie Lancaster, who was killed by a group of teenagers after a vicious attack on her boyfriend, which obviously led to her unfortunate death, and he suffered severe brain damage. And that was all because of the way that they dressed. And that's my main impetus for being on the plinth, really. But my own personal experiences are varied. Some people just come up to me and say, I love your t-shirt, where'd you get it from? Or where'd you get the shoes from? That kind of thing. And other people just hurl abuse from the other side of the road, and the moment you look at them, they run away. So it can be varied.
Do you want it to elicit a reaction?
Not necessarily. obviously I feel comfortable the way I'm dressed, the way I look, with the makeup on, with the makeup off. If I'm in jeans or a t-shirt, if I'm in my big baggy trousers and a light reflective t-shirt, either way, I'm comfortable. And as far as I'm concerned, if I'm comfortable, then why would anyone have a problem with it?
So you mentioned Sophie Lancaster. What will you be doing on the plinth?
I have a 7-foot banner, which was actually sent to me by Sylvia Lancaster, her mother. I'm a big supporter of the charity, so I've got quite close ties with them. I've got my wife, my best friend, with me also to be handing out leaflets while I'm up on the plinth. And other than that, I think I'll be winging it. So there may be some dancing, there may be some glow sticks, there may just be random chat down the mic on the internet. Don't know, see what happens.
Do you find that clothes are representative of an identity then?
In a way, they can be. Obviously, people associate certain clothes with certain people. For instance, tracksuit bottoms and hoodies and the so-called chav culture, which I don't really believe in. People dress like they want to dress. If they're comfortable, that's all that matters. So it can be an identity for some people, and for other people, it would just be a way they're comfortable looking.
You mentioned about going on the plinth, and we talked about getting a reaction. Do you have any hopes or fears about going on the plinth?
I don't really. Obviously, I want to promote the charity as much as possible, and I want to get as much support for the cause. I mean, basically, because it all came about a young girl who happened to be a goth being beaten to death, basically, unfortunately. It's not just about goth subculture, it's about everyone. So there are people within the alternative community, for instance, goths, punks, indie kids, scene kids, emos, whatever you want to call them, who discriminate against normal people, so people that just walk around wearing tracksuits and hoodies. And the real point of it, they've actually turned Sophie into an anagram for Stamp Out Prejudice, Hatred and Intolerance Everywhere. So it's not just about the alternative community. It's also about the general public as a whole.
Do you feel there is still a lot of prejudice then in our culture today?
There is. I feel there's a lot of prejudice in our culture today. It's always been said people are scared of what they don't understand, and sometimes that can elicit a negative response. Unfortunately, that's the case in a lot of situations. But at the same time, I feel that society as a whole is starting to get used to the idea of diversity. Obviously, hate crime still exists, but it's only the minority that commit it. And that's why the Sophie Foundation was set up, was to basically get the law changed so that not just race, creed, colour, religion are included in the Hate Crimes Act, but also subcultures and alternative cultures are included as well. So that's the main work that the charity runs for. And so hopefully, eventually, society will get used to the idea that people are different and want to dress different, and that's the way the world is.
Going back on a tangent, you mentioned that you work in an office.
I do, yes.
What do you do?
I'm actually a desk-based account manager for a telecoms company based in... Well, we've just been taking over, being the credit crunch and the recession and all. We got bought, so we're now based out of Nelson in Lancashire. Previous to that, I worked at the head office in Harlow. So.
Do you enjoy the work?
I do, actually. I really enjoy the work. I'm a salesman through and through. I previously worked for Barclays Bank, where I was a salesman. And I've just really stayed with sales for most of my working career. And I really enjoy it. And just because I wear a shirt and a tie during the day doesn't mean I have to wear a shirt and trousers outside of work. So.
You mentioned you went to Liverpool University?
Liverpool John Moores, yeah.
What did you study?
I studied Applied Community Studies, which is it's mostly around social work. So it's sociology and a bit of psychology, but it also included economics and a bit of maths and IT as well. So it's really focused at the social work side of things. I really enjoyed the course and I enjoyed the work that was behind it, but it wasn't really my chosen career path, so I've ended up in sales and I'm quite happy.
What other interests do you have in your life at the moment?
At the moment, I'm really focused around work and my wife. We got married in October last year, so We've got our own place, but we want to upsize soon. So that's really what I'm focused on at the moment. Previously, I was involved with the Air Training Corps. I was an adult sergeant in the Air Training Corps, and that was from being a wee little cadet. So I was in it from the age of 13 until I was 21. So that was the main interest I had previous.
What kind of responsibility did that entail?
Obviously, as an adult sergeant, I had to look after all the cadets, their well-being, their health and safety, that kind of thing. But also teaching them the importance of drill, so that's military drill, rifle drill as well as foot drill, taking them out on exercises, on camps away, shooting ranges, that kind of thing. It was varied, but it was really quite enjoyable, flying aircraft as well, so it was good.
We talked about how you're going on the plinth to raise awareness for this charity.
Yeah.
What do you think you're going to personally get out from your hour on the plinth?
Obviously, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do something a bit different. Obviously, being a cyber goth, I'm quite proud to be different anyway, but it's just something I've really wanted to kind of... It's a good way of publicising the charity, obviously. And for myself, it's just a one-off experience that I doubt anyone would ever get again, apart from the 2,400 people that have got the opportunity to do it. So,
have you felt that the people so far on the plinth have been diverse?
I do, yes. Yeah, not just diverse in a social state, but diverse as in the type of things they're doing, supporting charities, throwing paper airplanes, you know, just... It's been very varied and diverse, and it's probably what Mr. Gormley's been aiming for. So,
what I'm going to ask you now is that obviously it's a portrayal of modern Britain. This project. I'm going to ask, what's important in your life at this moment?
At this moment in time, probably, obviously we're trying for a child. Obviously upsizing the house. So it's a lot of personal stuff at the moment that's going on that's really important to me and close to my heart. But obviously the work that I will be doing in the future for the Sophie Lancaster Foundation, apart from now, and any other charity work that I can get involved with, I will. I also support Cancer UK, Cancer Research UK as well, whenever I can. So,
what do you think about charities in general?
I think charities are a good thing. There's no such thing as a bad charity, really. As long as it's helping people that need to be helped or deserve to be helped, then, you know, it's the best way forwards. The world wouldn't be in the situation that it is. We're again eradicating poverty, obviously changing laws, that kind of thing. It wouldn't be happening without charities. So,
where do you see yourself in the future?
Hopefully as a nice high flyer in telecoms. It'd be lovely, but I'll probably be going to industrial nightclubs and everything until I'm too arthritic to do it, to be fair. But I just want to live life as much as possible, enjoy myself, obviously have a comfortable home life with myself, my wife and the family that comes along at any time, and just really make the most of the time we have on this earth.
Well, you mentioned that obviously when you go to work you have to wear a shirt, suit and tie.
Yeah.
Can I just pick you up on that?
Sure.
And ask, when you're not, obviously being a cyber goth is an incredible and important part of your identity.
It is, yeah.
Do you feel you'll have to hide it then in the workplace at all?
No, everyone at work knows what I'm like outside of work. There's a couple of alternative, in inverted commas, nightclubs that play rock music, heavy metal, electronica, that kind of thing, that's not normally heard in a commercial nightclub, and it's in our town centre, so I invariably bump into 80% of the workforce at some point or another, and they've all seen me in my UV clothes and makeup and coloured contact lenses and whatever else, and I've not had a single bad reaction from anyone I work with, so they're supportive of me outside of work as well as in. I've just never had an issue with it, and I'm quite happy to be known as a cyber goth. It doesn't bother me, I'm proud.